working with those brethren. We are going to be talking tonight, and it's going to be primarily from the reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because you may have noticed on the sign the topic is the dead in Christ will rise first. And I think this is one of those things that actually should not be an issue, and yet it has become an issue. What does this mean? The dead in Christ will rise first. For 1700 years, there was very few that had any problem understanding it. But in the last couple of years, that has changed. And so I want us to look at these verses here and try and say, what does it mean? Let's look at first what the Bible actually teaches, and then we'll come back and spend a little time looking at what has become a very popular doctrine in the last probably 50 years or so. And so let's read again there at verse 13. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Now notice as we go through here, who is being talked about? Here, this translation says, those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the contention, the misunderstanding is particularly there at verse 16. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, who are these dead? Obviously, these are those in verse 13 who have fallen asleep. Again, in verse 14, those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, those who are asleep. And so in all of these verses, who are we discussing here? We're discussing those who have fallen asleep. Those who have died before Jesus comes. And it seems that the Thessalonians, and Paul was not there a very long time to be able perhaps to ground them certainly as he wanted. And so whether they wrote him, whether the brethren who had been with them brought messages to Paul, whatever it was, Paul endeavors to answer their concerns, and there were several of them that they had with the resurrection and concerning the resurrection. And here, apparently the idea and their concern was that those who had died in Christ, but who died before Christ returned, what would happen to them? Where would they be? Would they miss it, if you will? Would they miss the resurrection or what? And I think when you look at verse 13 again, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Why? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If those who died before Christ returned, we're going to be left. We're going to miss, if you want to say it that way, the resurrection. Then that would be something that you would be without hope concerning those people. And so that's what I understand. Likely their question was, and so Paul is addressing that, and very clearly. In verse 13, in verse 14, in verse 15, he's talking about those who are asleep, those who have died in Christ. In verse 16, he says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, what is this in context to? And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, verse 17, keep reading there. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so the contrast here is not the dead in Christ are going to rise first, long before everybody else, but they're going to rise first comparative to those who are alive, who will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so that, I think, is the common, the logical, if you will, understanding of this passage. And verse 16 makes it clear also that this is going to be something that's going to be very obvious, because in verse 16 it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God." None of these things are going to be quiet. These are things that are going to, that everybody's going to see and everybody's going to hear. The trumpet of the Lord is not going to be do-do-do in one place. This is going to be something that's going to be heard all over the earth. And so obviously this is not a secret thing. This is public. And I think as we go on, it says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now, I won't say common because that's not really that common, but premillennialism a couple of hundred years ago particularly brought up the idea that the dead in Christ will rise sometime before the living. And so actually there are going to be two resurrections. There's going to be one that the living are raised, and then later the righteous dead are going to, then there will be another resurrection on the final day of judgment when the wicked will be raised. Because verse 14 says, "Even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And you notice all of it says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And to their mind, this is something before, because Jesus is coming before again. But I want you to turn with me now to John chapter 14. And notice a very logical way that also could be what he's talking about here. In John chapter 14 at verse 1, Jesus is talking to the apostles here after he's told them he's going to die. He says there, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." So Jesus here tells them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to bring you to go with me. And it's interesting, you know, you think about here, this is almost like a mother telling her child that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus says in verse 4, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And so Jesus, to reassure them, tells them, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I'm going to prepare a place for you, certainly I'm going to come back and get you. Because what's the point of preparing a place for you if I'm not coming back for you? And so in that sense, I think we can understand going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 there at verse 14. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And he goes on to say there in verse 16, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord will descend. And how will he descend? And they have, and you may have heard in the last 20 years, the rapture. The rapture has been a big deal back after the left. What is it called? The Left Alone, that series of books and movies and everything that went with it. And the idea was that the Lord would return. When he returned in the rapture, it would be a secret return. Those who were dead would go with him, and those who were righteous, who were living, would be raptured away. They would be carried away. And that comes from the word that is here used in verse 16. Verse 17. Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so this is the Latin word raptare, which is the idea of being snatched. And throughout the New Testament, it's not an uncommon word, and it's always the idea of force, of being forcibly taken away. You may remember in Acts chapter 8, after Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, and it says that he is caught away, the Spirit caught him away, that's the same word. Now, interestingly, just to get the word picture, how many of you are familiar with the word raptors? And that is used to describe the eagles, the hawks, the birds that swoop down and catch up their prey. That's the same word. And that is the idea here. But their idea is that that people will be just snatched away. And they talk about that people will be driving. And several years ago, there were a lot of bumper stickers. In the case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned. And the idea is, at whatever moment that is, if you're righteous and you're driving, you're going to just disappear. If you're a school teacher and you're righteous, you're going to disappear. If it's mom at home, mom's going to disappear. You're going to come home and she's not going to be there. Left Behind was the series. And I think this has a lot of pizzazz to it, for lack of a better word. It's very interesting. Premillennialism is a very detailed theory, and it has all the explanations for everything. There's no faith because they've got all the answers. And yet, as we have just read, is there anything about this, particularly verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How many people are not going to hear this? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. This is not going to be a secret thing. This is going to be something that is going to be noticeable to all the world. And so, brethren, we need to understand this is not something that is going to be secret. This is not something that fits into their plan. This is something that is going to be something very obvious. And it's interesting when you look at this paragraph. Let's begin at verse 18. After he has said all this, what does he say? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? The comfort one another that, as verse 13 says, concerning those who are fallen asleep, you don't have to sorrow because you don't have any hope. These people will be saved just as much, just as surely as you and I. And so the idea of those who have no hope, no, we know it doesn't matter. We're all going to be there. And it says, and therefore, in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Brethren, that is the hope that we have, that we will always be in heaven with the Lord. And that should be a comfort to us. It should be a comfort to us to know that